Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have two guests, Angela Cobb and Oliver Stewart, who are directors and co-founders at local CX agency Tortoise and Hare. We discuss the changing face of the CX industry, how COVID has meant CX is becoming non-negotiable for businesses across the board. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have Andrew and Oliver from Tortoise and Hare. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Ignorantly, did not know of you until about a month ago, and we started a conversation about, you know, having you both on the podcast. So for those of our listeners that might not know who you are, do you want to give us a bit of an overview of who you are individually? Let's start there, and then we'll go into Tortoise and Hare.
I'm Oliver Stewart, and you wouldn't have known about us because we were formally rebranded as a different business before that, but went through a very specific exercise of rebranding as Tortoise and Hare a month or maybe a bit longer than that ago now. And we're a CX agency, so a customer experience agency. And the repositioning exercise was all around giving us a, you know, better representing our business and you know, how we add value to the clients we work with. And so the you know, tagline, if you like, that sits below Tortoise and Hare is that we believe that building valuable customer relationships is a marathon and that we help customers run that marathon. And, you know, fundamental to part of who we are as an agency is also, you know, some of our backstory, Ange, and the fact that we've also worked, and all of the team has worked client side in the past as well as in agency land. Yeah. And that for us, you know, that also talks to how we operate. Super pragmatic, practical, all about getting the best possible client outcomes we can. For the partners we work with, who includes, you know, some big brands like Woolworths, Cash Rewards. In the past, we've worked with Myer, NRL. Locally, we're working with NIB, B2C brands, B2B brands like Modern Star. So, you know, they're some of the brands we're working with. And but now we're in a new Tortoise and Hare world, which we're loving.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm Angela, and I'm also one of the directors. We have a third director who's Nick, who's not here today, but he's very much the entrepreneur at heart in the business and the operational genius. So he very much keeps the lights on as well. We often laugh about Oliver and my experience because we often laugh that we're the same people in that, you know, we kicked off our careers independently, and then we crossed paths, you know, back in 2007, I think it was, yeah. Oliver. But and that was at CX Lavender, which was at that stage a bit of a, you know, a direct marketing, traditional direct marketing agency.
Yeah.
From there we went then to M&C Saatchi, and then, you know, went our own ways again, and then kicked off again at Qantas Frequent Flyer. So we've very much kind of had our own careers, but also been pretty much inseparable from the very beginning.
So it made sense however many years ago it was that we came together and actually to do our own thing and to build to where we've got to today.
Yeah, I find the CX space really interesting. We're obviously a technology-focused podcast.
Yeah.
And I feel like where technology's gone over the past, it's continually going, is from a pure technical place to bridging technology and humans, and CX is playing a really, really important part in that space. How do you leverage technology to talk to customers? What does that customer experience look like? I feel like back in the days, it was just about having a website. You had to have a website online. Yeah. Who are you talking to? It doesn't matter. You've got a website. And that journey and everything has just changed so much. And there's been a real rise in that CX space. And I feel like we're continuing to grow in there. From a CX perspective, you're obviously both specialists in that space. Can you talk to your experience in how CX as a whole is changing and evolving?
Yeah. First, let's talk about what is CX, because it's a bit of a buzzword and a lot of people do and don't really understand it. So when we talk about CX, we're talking end-to-end customer experience, and what's pivotal to that is understanding, you know, customer needs, wants and behaviors at every point in their customer journey. I think for us, really, like what we've seen, and everyone's probably seen this across the industry, is COVID itself has been meant CX is an absolute non-negotiable. You know, with COVID, everything shifting online, you know, you don't want to say it's the rise of digitalization because that was obviously happening very much prior to COVID, but it absolutely sensationalized that and fast-tracked that for a lot of businesses that probably had it on the back burner and didn't prioritize it. So what we've seen is, you know, that's been a real shift, you know, contactless payments, you know, whether that's getting, you know, bricks and mortar businesses trying to shift their shops online, you know. But what we had seen in CX and are continuing to see is, you know, especially with COVID and the pandemic, is customers are now willing to shop new brands, right? Which for that means, you know, and having a negative customer experience is the top reason for detraction. So if you have a negative experience, that's going to then impact, you know, the likelihood of you losing that customer. So we've seen businesses really shifting over the last couple of years is focused not necessarily on acquiring new customers, but actually focusing on driving more value from existing customers and driving that advocacy and real loyalists within their business.
Yeah, I feel like lifetime value has become a stat that people are looking at with more and more, you know, with more and more intent, as opposed to, you know, top line revenue is looking great, but what's our churn look like? What's our lifetime value of a customer look like? These are conversations, especially in the SaaS play, you know, how do you have that ongoing monthly recurring revenues or the annual recurring revenues, which, you know, that's where a lot of valuations in tech have played off.
Yeah.
And it's not about just getting that initial purchase. It's about how do I keep those customers, you know, ongoing.
And that plays exactly into our marathon analogy, which is where the tortoise and hare comes from, obviously. But that's exactly right. Like the LTV, lifetime value, that's, you know, where that's where we're always having the conversation, but it's got so much more traction recently. And what we also say is that, which builds into the marathon analogy, is that it, you know, you need to be committed to it and you need to make, you know, movement and progress and, you know, on it now, and it might not pay off tomorrow. Like we don't do the short-term, quick turnaround sales, you know, drive, you know, using digital channels, you know, just to bump up the bottom line for a target that you want to hit tomorrow. We're about that long-term incremental growth that you can build within a customer base. So that also plays into another space that we do, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about, which is loyalty. So lifetime value is as a business what you're trying to drive, but really what you're trying to get is, you know, loyal customers who have a great affinity for your brand, advocacy for your product, engage with you. Like, so there's the lifetime value, the, you know, commercially, but like how do they actually engage with you as a brand as well, whether that's utilizing your products, digital, you know, apps, whatever it might be, how they engage with you on social, all that sort of stuff. So that is, yeah, that's firmly the space that we play in and see that there being huge value for businesses to invest in as well.
Yeah. You mentioned digital just then, obviously close to my heart being in that tech space as well. I want to get into what CX looks like when you'd work with a client in a second, but just purely that digital space, how is that changed CX as a whole? Like I feel like, you know, back in the days, especially brick and mortar businesses, you could have, you know, a loyalty card or something that comes back. I feel like digital's opened up more opportunities for better CX plays or companies to evolve or use different platforms to really improve their customer experience. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I might quickly talk the platform thing because that's also, it's a huge enabler, right? Of course, because you've got all of these different, you know, tools at your fingertips, but it's also complex because there's so many.
Yeah.
There's a great, I mean, if we just talk in the marketing space, there's a great MarTech map out there. You've probably seen it yourself. And I think 10 years ago, it just maps all the different tools and providers out there. 10 years ago, there were like 150 maybe, like globally. And now that's like the proliferation of it is massive. It's like 10,000 plus. And you've got a new one popping up every day. So it is a huge enabler, but having a really clear understanding of your requirements, but also your getting in the customer mindset and understanding what, you know, what they want and what they need is really important for you to be able to sift through everything that's out there.
And we kind of talked about it earlier around, you know, email, and maybe that was actually before we started recording, apologies, but, you know, gone are the days is just an email provider or a platform being enough and sufficient. A B2B business, for example, now has, you know, a customer expects 10 plus channels to interact and engage with. So, you know, the reason why we're seeing that big shift is also because you know, these kind of platforms and providers actually now need to be setting themselves up to support multi-channel. It's not just about being good at email. It's about being good at every channel and integrating them to create that seamless experience.
So for companies that are managing multi-channels, right, potentially working with an agency like yourselves, managing multi-channels, I feel like that role used to sit somewhere inside marketing. It's now potentially still sits in marketing, but potentially in digital and as a technology. How does that sit within a company, like from an internal perspective, working with someone like yourself, managing multiple channels? How have you seen that role change, evolve?
We absolutely see that merging, and like that, where's that delineation, roles, responsibilities, what's the operating model? And where we often see a crossover is work in the traditional life cycle space, which, let's just put that in the marketing, in, you know, in the marketing corner, whether that's right or not. And then you've got work in the omni-channel space, like who owns the channel, who's responsible for delivering the experience in that channel. Let's put that in the digital space. But obviously, increasingly, they're and absolutely they overlap and blur. And so what we see is those strategies coming together. And a real question mark is, cool, so how do we still have clear lines of roles and responsibilities and you know, handoffs and pickup points, but also a much more coordinated way of working? And often that does come down to having really clear definitions of, you know, at what point is this particular customer in terms of the life cycle, and, you know, what are the priority channels that they're interacting with, and when do you pick them up and drop them off, and how that all comes together. So there's not a clear answer as to what the solution is, but, you know, there's definitely a need to be much more coordinated.
No, I like it. I feel like it's an evolving space, and I feel like technology as a whole, right? Old school technology was back of house. It's out there. Now technology is a real enabler within companies.
Mm. Yeah.
And it just really, you know, sits and helps and enables other departments. And I feel like that overlap between digital marketing or marketing and digital and others, you know, are the same thing. Because most marketing is digital now, but there's sort of still traditional. Technology helps enable a lot of those. So it's just a fascinating, you know, fascinating space that's continuing to evolve.
And often I'd say is that the bridge between them is often the data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so knowing your customer as a person, and, you know, however you do that as a business with, you know, degree of, you know, granularity that gives you real sophistication, or, you know, maybe it's a bit more basic, but, you know, having a consistent way of identifying people and being able to recognize who they are, their behavior, and then respond based on who they are and the context in which they've made, you know, they've completed an action or whatever it might be, is often how you can then build that experience across the two areas.
Yeah, nice. For my absolute naivety, if I was to brand new company, wanted to look at, you know, CX for the first time, what does a process look like working with, you know, Tortoise and Hare or another, you know, player in this space? Or what does that experience look like? What does initial conversation through to, you know, having something implemented? Obviously, you know, end game would be a really clear defined, you know, definition of who my customer is and all the data behind that, and being able to run channels off the back. But how do I go from, you know, zero to one?
Yeah. So it's a good question, because we've actually done this for a number of clients recently. So in this example, I mean, first of all, we might take a step back and actually talk about what we offer in terms of our services, because that sets the scene of really how then we would tackle a project, for example, or an initial conversation. So we have three core pillars of our services, so strategy, brand and creative, and digital. We find a lot of our work initially starts in that strategic space. So you know, that might be a CX audit, for example, like what we would, I'll talk to in a little bit more detail. You know, we do qual quant research, you know, might be building, you know, a valuable proposition, whether that's a loyalty proposition or just a recognition strategy, or strategic consulting. The thing that really differentiates us is that, you know, we might come up with, a lot of businesses come up with beautiful brands, but whether they come up with compelling brands is another story. So how we really set ourselves apart there is that we not only can come up with a beautiful brand, but we can translate that brand across channels, and we can stress test that, make sure that every, you know, execution of that is direct response design as well. And then in digital headspace, you know, we do UX UI, we do omni-channel campaigns and journeys and SEO and content. But in the example of what you're talking about, so we take a step back, how do we tackle an initial conversation? For us, that's lighting up that strategy pillar. So we would kind of get in there and we do probably a full CX audit where we would do a tear down of all comms, all channels, all interaction points. We often do a lot of one-to-one stakeholder interviews and potentially some customer interviews as part of that as well to get a clear current state of play for that business. Okay. Once we do that, we then help work with them to come up basically and operationalize that. So I think another thing for us is, you know, because we have worked with client and agency side, we get, you know, the operational execution issues that back a standard strategy. So we then want to be able to make sure that it's a practical solution for them. So that might be coming up with a horizon plan across, you know, a number of different areas of focus for them that allows it to be, you know, allows them to keep that blue sky vision of, yes, best in class CX, but, you know, realistically, how do you get there? Is it,
yeah,
don't like to say brilliant at the basics, but sometimes that is what you're talking about for phase one,
for sure.
You know, setting it up for success and building those foundations.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So understanding sort of where our clients are, what they're trying to achieve,
yep,
breaking it down, understanding what they do,
yep,
and starting on, yeah, from phase one.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and it's a very collaborative process for us. You know, it's not something, you know, that we absolutely go in a hole on our side, but it's a collaborative process with the client because obviously it's their business. So
yeah, I feel like CX sometimes for some people it's still new.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for some people it's a little daunting, right? It's like, mm-hmm, are we a company big enough to tackle that yet?
Yeah.
Are we far enough down there? Or maybe I haven't got something started yet. How do I start that journey? Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's probably CX's journey as a whole, but then also a lot of companies. How do I start? Yeah. Where does it sit? Whose responsibility is it? It's an interesting space because obviously that customer experience journey, lifetime value is becoming more and more important. How people do that will be a differentiator as we go on. Yeah.
And no matter how big or small, how sophisticated you are, whatever it might be, it's often better if you're, you know, just starting out. And if you are small and it is a bit simpler, you don't have this huge enterprise framework you've got to work within and all the rest of all the complexities that come with that sort of thing. But and I think you bring it back to, like, so CX, we're talking about the customer experience, but like how do you build meaningful journeys,
yeah,
as opposed to just one-off tactical touch points and interactions? And because as a consumer, you think about your experience as a whole with a brand or a service, product, whatever it might be. You don't go, oh, I just had a really good interaction with the app today as I was trying to perform function X. You think about the whole package. And that's really what we spend, you know, we see that being a real shift at the moment is people really understanding it, the need to actually build into this space where they're actually managing a journey over time. And I think that's where there's a lot of value that even on a small scale you can make.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like technology or companies as a whole, all businesses, whether it be B2B or B2C, it is human to human, right?
Yeah.
And it's understanding who that human is that you're talking to, what their relationship with your brand looks like, what that journey looks like, to your extent. And I feel like there is a greater emphasis on that, and it's the companies that are having real success are understanding who their customer is, where they're at, where do I speak to them at, what their journey and experience looks like. So I feel like it's a really interesting space as we continue to evolve and, you know, a lot of companies move online. As you mentioned before, people are more open to changing brands, probably have less loyalty these days if a brand hasn't built that real experience with them. So that's a growing and an important space.
Yeah.
Nice. From your perspective, you've obviously rebranded recently. Can you talk to me about what brought that, you know, where's that at in your journey, the purpose behind that, your experiences?
Yeah, I mean, the rebrand itself, so we have rebranded our agency from AmI, which was a bit of a legacy for us because our business was Australian Marketing Initiatives, which sounds like a, you know, a crazy big corporation, which didn't really define us or who we were, and it kind of lacked that personality that felt was missing. So we rebranded to Tortoise and Hare just to better articulate who we are and what we do. And, you know, and the fable tortoise, Aesop fable Tortoise and Hare was a real driving force behind that as well. And the story that goes with that around building valuable relations being a marathon, not a sprint.
So. Yeah.
And she mentioned before that we spent time working in Sydney And, you know, we work with clients in Sydney, but we're also, you know, as a business in this space, you know, in our new rebranded space, really focus also on trying to work more locally in Newcastle. Most of our team is all here. We're looking for people who have that, ideally have that experience of having worked client side, so they get it, so they're in that same mindset that we're in about how we can really add value to businesses. But we are, you know, we've all moved here for a reason. We're bringing our families up here. And as part of growing our business, we're also super focused on trying to do that here and retain talent here and just give other people the opportunities that we've had, if, you know, especially if they're coming out of somewhere like Sydney and they're looking for something that they can do that will still give them the opportunities that they might, you know, have had in a big city, but of course exist everywhere in Newcastle now. So we want to be part of that as well.
Yeah, I feel like the opportunity also, and it happened with technology.
Yeah,
you know, 5-10 years ago, where anyone was coming out of university in the technology space, software engineering, for example, had to go to Sydney for a job. Whereas that's completely changed. Like, you come out of university in Newcastle right now, software engineering degree, there's at least 15 jobs there ready for you to go. I feel like it was the same. Like, I did a Bachelor of Business major in marketing, had to move to Sydney for work, like for good opportunities. I feel like that providing opportunities for people to work in a CX specialist agency in Newcastle is a bit of a game changer, really. That specialization in that space and for that to be local is should be really good for, you know, opportunities for graduates and people to grow their careers in that space.
And that was a key reason why we rebranded as well, is obviously better position ourselves in the market that we want to play in and grow in, but also to attract that talent, which we know we need to find.
Nice. On that note, people coming through university, people potentially maybe high school going through university, trying to understand, okay, quite like the idea of this customer experience, getting to know who customers are, you know, providing value, working with clients. How do you build a career in CX? You know, is there a traditional pathway? I'd be keen to maybe get both your individual takes on where you've got to, and then we'll break it down that university space, which is something I always like digging into. So, like, from your perspective, Ange, from a career perspective, how did you find your way into CX?
Well, to be honest, I mean, gosh, that feels like a long time ago too. And because the industry's changed so much, whether it would be the same and right approach now is another question. Like you, I did a Bachelor of Commerce, majored in marketing and management, and did that at Sydney University. And I, like I said, set myself up there. And the first thing I actually did was actually get some work experience, because I didn't know what I wanted to major in. I didn't know what I wanted to necessarily focus in. This was halfway through my career at this stage. Halfway through my degree at this stage. You know, I was fortunate enough to get work experience for, it was 5 weeks, and I did a week in all areas of a business, where accounting, not so passionate about, but, you know, R&D, marketing, and that's where I really found that passion for marketing, which was why I ended up majoring in that space. So I think the big thing for me was going broad, because I was not really sure what I wanted to focus on. Yeah. And it's not like I fell into marketing, did the absolute due diligence of working out exactly what it was that I wanted to go after and feel confident in that. But work experience was a great way to be able to do that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. So breadth first and then start to specialize in.
Yeah.
I like it. More about it for yourself.
Well, I mean, Angie's already said we're pretty much the same person when it comes to our career path. So I'm not going to repeat everything she just said. I followed, started broad, narrowed down, and that's how I, we end up in the same space. But I think part of your other question was around, you know, how do you, you know, if you're interested in it, I think, you know, how do you just choose that that's a space you want to go into? And we often talk about this in this concept, you know, with the team and with clients. Everyone's a customer. Everyone's a consumer out there in the every day, you know, out and about. And I think if you have an interest in experiences and you're curious about how it works and you see opportunities for improvement in, you know, in everyday experiences that you have, whether it's interaction with a brand, a product, or whatever, then I think, you know, potentially you have a natural affinity for it. And then there are avenues you can go, you know, you can follow to sort of find out more about it. It's much more of a, you know, that need to be able to, we followed a direct marketing path back in the day. It was more direct marketing than the CX is how it's evolved because of digital, because of, a need to have clear attribution around what was going on and to understand and unpick, you know, what's happening and why it's happening, as opposed to sometimes potentially back in the day, a big brand ad that, you know, may or may not work for whatever reason.
I think I've seen them in an ADMA conference back in the days.
People often at that, you know, when we first started out, you either went direct or you went above the line. Like that was it. Like that was the choice you made. And like that was a game changer actually going direct initially.
I had a role at one point in my career, which was email marketing specialist, literally when email marketing first kicked off. And it was, you know, the different, it was your first opportunity to talk to a customer outside of, you know, direct mail or something like that in a personal nature, and email marketing was the thing. Now it's just a small part, but that was my specialist role in direct marketing, email marketing.
But I think that talks to like the sort of, you know, depending on the sort of profile of person you are and what you like, that could help steer you in a direction.
Yeah. So if we, one of the things I like looking at in technology space is continuing to evolve, and education continues to evolve and change. Do you think a university degree is beneficial for people to get like a breadth of experience? It sounds like breadth of experience is a really good starting point for CX. Do you think a university degree plays a part in somebody getting out or building a career in the CX space?
I would personally say yes. I think there are probably some great courses and opportunities, you know, in tertiary education that you could follow. But also, you know, there's so much more practical hands-on that you can do. You can build your own website, you can set up your own product, you can, you know, you can turn something on really quickly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be so you can be an overnight millionaire success. It might just be to dabble in the space and to learn more about it. So I'd be, you know, and I'm sure that courses these days are much more practically, you know, orientated around that. But I would say that the people who are coming out and being successful aren't the people who are just relying on what, you know, what they learn in a course to set them up for success.
Agreed. Well, I always lean back to this technology. I guess that's where we've got most experience. Same thing there. You can do a degree, but if you're building your own site, writing some code, contributing to projects on your own, that's probably where you'll learn the most, and there'll be people that, you know, I guess accelerate their careers a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Nice. Outside of university then, is there any other courses or online platforms that you've found super helpful or that you would recommend to other people trying to, I guess, figure out whether this space is for them or how to improve their skill sets? Is it, you know, is it YouTube videos or is there an online platform or someone that provides education outside of that formal education?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff out there. I would say that it's about finding those areas that you're interested in and just you know, going down that rabbit hole and digging into it.
Because there's broad CX courses that you can do, like online courses specific.
Another good space is loyalty. Like there are courses out there that really dig into loyalty, whether it's the psychology of loyalty, you know, the fundamentals of program mechanics. Like, you know, there's stuff like, you know, I'd be specific and I'd look for what, you know, where the specialized content is about that area that you're particularly interested in.
Yeah, I like it. You mentioned just before, and I'm quite interested in this space, and I feel like technology, CX marketing, it all sort of evolves, but psychology. It feels like a psychology or understanding consumers is a big part of what you do. Is that like, would you see somebody coming from a psychology background being really, you know, helpful in this space, or is it something that you would say, hey, senior professionals in this space or experts in this space that you look into, study? Is that something that...
So at uni, I did business management, and then within that, I like marketing. You know, preferenced marketing, and so I majored in that. I also did an arts degree in arts. I single majored in journalism, which has sort of then led to having interesting content and psychology. Yeah. So all of that ultimately led into, you know, so without realizing I was building that pathway, it all led in there. And that, yeah, so I think psychology has so many applications, but absolutely in the consumer mindset is hugely powerful.
No, completely agree. I'm more and more interested in it by the day with obviously recruitment, dealing with human beings, understanding different motivators and values, how that aligns to their jobs. So super interesting to me. So Tortoise and Hare, obviously a growing agency here in Newcastle, but it sounds like you were both in Sydney one time. I did the same thing personally and then come back to Newcastle and built a business locally here in Newcastle. Interested to understand like how you underwent that process. Like how did you start coming back to Newcastle and then building locally here?
Well, when we first started, it was actually part of the Renew Newcastle effort. So we set ourselves up at a shared office space in town and then actually quickly outgrew that and found a great spot just on Watt Street, which is where our office is today, many years later.
Very nice. And the why come back to Newcastle? Why grow locally here?
So I think, well, obviously the need for a sea change, but really one of the big things was actually wanting to set up a business from Newcastle and also showcase that you can have great CX talent and work on big businesses and big brands all from Newcastle. It doesn't have to necessarily be in the big city. So we're really passionate about giving, you know, local CX specialists the opportunity to not have to feel like they have to go back to the big city to get big business and big agency experience.
I love hearing that story from a couple of angles. A, giving, you know, our local talent the opportunities to stay local and really work with those national and international brands, but also draw talent from outside of Newcastle to Newcastle to have a specialized career working with those large brands. So I love that story from a Newcastle perspective and, you know, wish you all the growth here.
Thank you.
Last question I like to always ask and try to get, you know, the insights of, you know, growing business owners or growing professionals is, you are obviously both growing a brand, growing a team and working with now many, many clients. How do you manage your day? So what I'd like to try to get out of this is there a tip or technique that our listeners could take away from here on like how you manage your days? I'll start with you, Ange, and then Oliver.
Our days. So as a business, I mean, again, you know, we're always in office 1 or 2 days a week, and we do that as a team because they're kind of our real, you know, whether they're meeting heavy or, you know, workshop heavy days. So if it's a day like that, you're in the office and that day is usually pretty damn planned out. But on the other days, they're usually the days that we leave to really allow ourselves to get the work done.
Yeah.
And that's how we plan our days.
Yeah, nice. Is there any productivity tools or any tools or technologies that you've used that you've found super helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. So given our team is we obviously have team locally here in Newcastle, which is our core team, and then we have a peripheral team of absolute experts in our field. We really need to be quite dynamic in our approach and make sure that, you know, the tools that we're using allows us to be, you know, responsive but contactable, but also give people the space that they need as and when they're not working. So we use, obviously, Slack is a really important channel and tool for us. You know, we use Google Drive, and that, you know, we actually were in Dropbox and have shifted from there. And then Streamtime's actually a really important
tool. Streamtime? I've not heard of Streamtime.
So it's a great project management tool, but it's also a bit of a resourcing tool for us as well. And then Nick, I mean, he's not here, but he's the brains behind all of this. And we've also built a number of tools to help support some of those platforms and integrate them along with Xero, so we can do some more, you know, not only project management, but forecasting actuals. And, you know, we've got a pretty rigorous forecast plan that's, you know, we're working kind of 6 to 12 months out, so we know exactly where things are at.
Nice. I'll definitely link up Streamtime in our show notes as well.
Yeah. I'd say any tools that allow you to co-collaborate.
Yeah.
So a Figma, you know, all the Google suite, Lucid is another tool we use where you can get in there and you can all work on it at once. I think that's really key. I think about the old days of, you know, pre some of these tools where I'd do a version of a PowerPoint, save it down, you do it, someone else would pick it up and do some edits, and you go, you know, have 20 versions. Like, that's obviously archaic and unnecessary anymore, but the ability to co-create is so important and so much more effective.
Yeah, nice. For you both to get where you are, obviously you've done a lot of learning along the way. Is there a podcast or a book or a, you know, key piece or source of information that you'd highly recommend that has maybe been game changing or highly beneficial for you?
On a personal development standpoint, I'm really into almost anything that Ryan Holiday does.
Ryan Holiday.
Yeah. You know, just about getting that focus around what you're doing and why you're doing it, and, you know, and deliver, you know, having that in your day to day life gives you good perspective. So, you know, that's not marketing related specifically, but I think, you know, in the background, that stuff's really important.
Yeah, I agree. I think The Obstacle Is the Way is probably on my top 5 books of all time.
Yeah.
I think it holds a tight spot within that top 5.
Yeah. That's to read. It's actually sitting next to my bed. I recently read Stillness is the Key, which,
yeah,
as a father of few kids. It was important for me to channel my inner stillness.
Yeah.
All right. I'm following up with you on Obstacles Away in a month's time. It is absolutely my top five books.
Yeah, awesome.
And then from a podcast perspective, I mean, this is a bit more niche, but Paula Thomas's Let's Talk Loyalty is really great. She interviews a specialist, but they can be agency, client side, but it's international, each podcast, and she dives into loyalty, and it might be specifically about loyalty program, but sometimes she's dabbling a lot more into CX more broadly.
I love that. That's been really good. Specialist podcasts. As
yeah. Hey, and she's been going for some time.
So I think you've both mentioned before, like, just rather than, you know, an overarching piece of education, is finding those specialists in that each niche. So I will link that up in the show notes as well.
I'm totally plugging my mum's podcast here because it's specialist and it's fully related to your career.
Yeah.
It's called Unpaused.
Yeah.
And it's about the journey that women go on in their careers, often when they have to take time out of work, and how they get back in and how they follow their passion and what they want to do. So
I love that. I'm also going to link that up, something super pertinent to a lot of our listeners as well. So appreciate the recommendation.
So will my mum, hopefully.
Here we are, plugging guest mums. I love it. Thanks for your time today. I really appreciate your time. And from my perspective, like, really interesting for me to understand more, I guess, that CX space, because it is a growing space and I guess it's affecting all of our lives and our technology listeners, and how that overlaps and plays there is super interesting. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was it. Cheers.
Listening to this episode of New Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.newtechpeople.com.au. Thank you.